If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need BILL. BILL Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With BILL, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using BILL to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how BILL can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to BILL Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Welcome to Fightful. It is June 26th, 2024. It is AEW New Japan Forbidden Door Week, and we've got your AEW Dynamite post-show review here on Fightful. I'll tell you about Fightful Select later on, but we got a bunch of scoops over there, including, we had a news on a tag team that signed to TNA, one that might be coming into AEW ROH, and then, of course, Hangman Page and wild card news. That in addition to our Discord and a lot of other things, this weekend will be loaded on FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. Part of that reason is this fella right here, Alex Pawlowski, who will be doing Sour Grap Smackdown and Rampage Watch Along, as well as a Forbidden Door post show. For all those people that say, why don't you do Sour Graps about AEW? That's not fair. He does. He does.
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, there's usually just hidden with me, talking about Rampage matches that don't really matter while also, talking about SmackDown. But whenever AEW does a pay-per-view, we're always behind the paywall doing that, usually with Kate, but she'll be at Forbidden Door. So I'm going to get her normal co-star from co-host from Fridays, Alexis Cardoza. So it'll be a double Alex. It's going to be, as we call it, an AA meeting. An AA meeting to discuss Forbidden Door right after the show. So come and hang out. It'll be fun.
Yeah, guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. Get your super chats and humper chats in. You can get super chats in here at youtube.com/Fightful. Here on YouTube, we had an interview with Mina Shirakawa via Grapsody. We had Evan Husney. Got a whole bunch of stuff over here. Over on Fightful Overbooked, Giselle Shaw and Sinner and Saint spoke to In the Weeds. Lots of stuff for you to check out, but you can also get in Humper Chats. That's HUMPERchats.com. Reminder, I will be here solo for a post show after AEW Forbidden Door. We'll also have a bunch of news from the scrum, thanks to our partner here, Luis, who handles all the moderation. But show us some love, share the video, all that good stuff. We got to get your questions in. We got to get your thoughts in, guys. I did a show called What Do You Guys Want to Talk About Today, where I answered an hour of your questions. If that ain't enough for you, you're in luck. FightfulSelect.com this week. In addition to the preview show ahead of Forbidden Door, in addition to all the news and the Discord, we're going to have a Grapsity Q&A and my own Q&A this week. So check it out. Alex, we don't usually do numbers talk on this show. It's not something I particularly even really give a shit about, to be honest with you. I just don't care. Now, whenever numbers are very, very good or very, very bad, it's a topic that, you know, you kind of got to talk about. And last week's AEW Dynamite number was real bad, historically bad. Now, I did a piece on FightfulSelect.com about some of the reactions and reasons or excuses, however anyone views it. Big Bang Theory absolutely did make a pretty significant difference because the demo was one third of what it usually was. Right. However, if you're relying on the Big Bang Theory, a show that has been off the air for years, to draw your numbers, well, whatever. Now, I can say this, WBD did not, okay, I won't say they didn't care. In responding to me, they didn't care. They were very much like, it's summer, nerds, go outside. They're like, this happened, etc. Kendrick Lamar.
WBD has prepared a statement. I shall read it to you now. Touch grass, dorks. Touch grass.
They gave a lot of reasons. They didn't give the Big Bang Theory reason. AEW people gave that reason. Neither of them gave the Kendrick Lamar reason, which was a major cultural event. Because it's so funny because I thought people would sarcastically reference that, and then no, there were just like dozens of people in my replies that were like, no, I was watching Kendrick Lamar last night, which was also what I did when I came home that night. I didn't immediately jump over and watch AEW. I was off last week, and today will be a very indicative thing. If that number is below 600,000 this week, that's certainly not good. And I don't think that this show, the way that it was executed, reflected a company that's like, yeah, we got to get those numbers up. We'll see. But, you know, this is a show that I looked at and I was like, I would have changed a lot of things on it if I was the guy. And also, the NBA draft is going on right now.
NBA draft. Yeah. I mean, it is the worst NBA draft in a generation.
Oh, it certainly is.
You know, so perhaps people aren't watching, but
a guy who started 5 games for us this year went 3rd overall.
Yeah. Well,
third overall. It's Kentucky. My God.
You know, they just assume he must be great.
Yeah. Yeah. But please leave a thumbs up, guys. We'll see how that all goes. Again, I'm not a big numbers guy. If I get the numbers, I'll report them. And I report reactions based on them. But Brandon Thurston's your guy for that. He is on top of it. He is as good as any. I mean, not as good. He is better than anybody has ever been at something like that. So,
yeah.
Action says, why do you think Angelico was never used in AEW the way he was in Lucha Underground? The man went from superstar to jobber overnight. Makes me sad. Well, Alex and I hold a particular affection for Lucha Underground. We have bonded over Lucha Underground. Mm-hmm. I will say this. Very few people have ever been used the way they have been used in Lucha Underground, from Sonny Kiss to Angelico, to even Penta. Despite the things he's done in AEW, he looked in Lucha Underground, Alex, like you could put him face-to-face with Brock Lesnar and he might break his arm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And also, listen, hard for me to believe that Angelico's feeling as well as he did back then, considering he was jumping off of offices then.
Yes. No, he was doing running, jumping, drop kicks off the top of an office into the middle of the ring, kicking a guy off a ladder. You know, maybe he doesn't feel as spry as he did 10 years ago, because that's when Lucha Underground was. I would like to see him more. I certainly would like to see him, you know, utilized in a consistent way. I don't think he needs to be, you know, a superstar, but I would love to see him more often because I really enjoy his work. I also love that he's kind of become more of a mat technician than anything else at this point in his career, because he certainly wasn't being showcased in that role when he was at Lucha Underground.
JW Pringle says, not a great show, especially for a go-home show. Yeah, I felt like the show was lacking quite a bit. I really did. There were some segments that just weren't for me as well. Meet Norma says, I was at last week's Dynamite, 85% full and a hot crowd. The ratings sucked, but it was a hot show. They drew over 4,000 tonight. Those numbers are starting to come back up. I saw one guy said, looks awfully tarped off. And I was like, man, there's a reason why John Alba and I had a running joke and we would say everything was tarped because people would send us stuff in 2019 WWE. They would send us pictures and they'd be like, oh, this is tarped off. And I'm like, I don't give a shit, brother. I don't care. I don't care how many people are there. That's usually my beat on that, but I'm glad to see those numbers coming up. Hopefully the viewership does for everybody, honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, get in those super chats, get in those humper chats, guys. We had an MJF promo. He comes out and starts talking and then is quickly interrupted by Daniel Garcia, the hometown boy who is super over there.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get to the Ospreay element of this, man, like I really like Daniel Garcia. I really like MJF. This felt like it took an awful long time to get to the point. Now, I got no problem with Daniel Garcia getting a lot of time in front of his hometown. I thought he did really great. It was, I felt like it was a little bit, it took them a while to get through the back padding of one another to get to sort of the point of the promo. Now, granted, MJF patting Daniel Garcia on the back in Buffalo is something that means an awful lot.
Right.
And I felt like it dragged on a little too long in that sense and got to almost the predictably unpredictable element of thank you for saying something nice about me and I'm going to say something nice about you, et cetera thing. Like, I didn't think that they were – it's hard to put it into words, really. I'm interested to see how you feel.
So, last week, this dovetailing of – Daniel Garcia wants a shot at Will Ospreay. And, oh, wouldn't you know it, there's a Dynamite that's being done live in Buffalo. And wouldn't you know it, there's a collision being taped that same night in Buffalo. Yeah. And so we all thought we were just going to get Will Ospreay versus Daniel Garcia in Buffalo, particularly because you have Swerve who's been saying, you can't split your focus and have a chance at beating me. So part of that story would be Will Ospreay having to go into a knockdown dragout with Daniel Garcia, who loves wrecking people's joints. And then a few days later, he's got to think he's going to be 100% against Swerve. Like that's the whole story that we thought we were going to get. So when they dovetailed in what we expect to be the all-in international title match, Will Ospreay defending against MJF in Wembley, it kind of felt like, well, no, let's just get the Daniel Garcia thing out of the way, and then we'll start doing MJF stuff. I didn't understand last week while we were doing both at the same time. Tonight's opening segment was I thought, a really nice way of being like, you're right, we did all that too fast. Let's take our time. They may have overcompensated, but I liked they were creating a connection between Daniel Garcia and MJF, creating a mutual respect that perhaps over the next couple of months will devolve into a real rivalry. I think that Daniel Garcia absolutely can be considered on the same level as the other, let's say the other three pillars. Like maybe not quite at MJF's level, but at the one of the top young guys in the company you can build on for the next 10 to 15 years, provided he stays that long. He should be that. So starting that build with this promo with him and MJF in Buffalo made a lot of sense to me. creating that bond, that sense of mutual respect between them, and MJF being like, how about this? How about you versus me at All In? And me going like, nah, I feel like it's probably going to be you versus Will, though, MJF. Which then immediately leads to Will Ospreay coming out and being like, I'm going to upstage MJF and offer you the title match you've been
Before we even get to Ospreay, I just wanted to talk about the first element of this. I just felt like it went on a little bit longer than it needed to be. I liked the point of it, which was to put over Daniel Garcia and put over MJF as the guy, a guy who recognized what Daniel Garcia had. I just felt like it took a while to get there. So the Ospreay element is something that I really enjoy because it's almost becoming a meme to me. Like anybody breathes and Will Ospreay just runs out and he's like, here I am, guys.
Right.
And it's what Swerve has criticized him for. Yeah. And not only that, he did it after MJF made a challenge for the biggest show of the year and got anything to do with Daniel or with Will Ospreay. And he runs out there. So he seems well-intending, but he is so, like, he's so involved in everything. Like, he didn't really have much of a reason to even save MJF. Like, no. So I'm interested to see where that lands. And I saw people saying, like, oh, well, this didn't bother me. I didn't say it bothered me. I said it took a little long for it to get to the point for me.
Right.
And that's okay. Now, what I'm going to do is address this guy who has gotten through half of one segment of this show and says, I'm baffled why you're calling this show lacking. It was an excellent show. You on the same train now as Dave and Brian being hypercritical of AEW? And then, let's see what he said. Because let me tell you, he's getting a free chat right here. He's getting a free chat, all right. It's hard for you to put it into words. You can't find a legitimate reason because you're spouting nonsense. Or, you fucking dope. It is subjective entertainment. And right. Someone can dislike or like things to their own degree. I didn't like how long it took them to get to the point of them putting each other over. I loved how they set up a challenge. They put Daniel Garcia not just on the level of MJF from an in-ring perspective,
right.
But put him on the level of MJF in MJF's mind because MJF was willing to work with right. him at Wembley. Now,
yeah.
We have gotten through half of one segment of this show.
Right.
So if you're sitting there saying, well, you mean hypercritical, why don't you go talk to the hundreds of people who have accused us of being on AEW's payroll yes. and all that goofy shit.
Yes.
Because if you can't stand someone being a little bit critical of a show that you enjoyed, you should hit the bricks and not come back. Because we ain't on anybody's payroll. I can't imagine why they'd want us on their payroll. We'd be very, very terrible employees. I yeah. can't imagine what they would want us for. Please say nice things about us on your show. They don't care. They don't care. That you care more than they do.
Yeah, yeah.
I have had zero people from WWE, AEW, TNA, New Japan hit me up and be like, oh, I'm so mad about your opinion. I get lots of wrestling fans, get lots of weirdos like Corsos up here that's like, oh, you're spouting nonsense. You're getting hypercritical. Brother, what are you talking about? There were things I liked on this show. There were things I didn't like on this show. And I felt like this one, I felt like this could have had some bolts tightened on it for sure. Tom LaValle says, love Ospreay offering title shots for a belt he doesn't have. Love Garcia getting that spotlight. Hopefully it means a belt for him next week. Yes, and what it shows is that Swerve, I think Swerve's right. He's back there saying you're making promises with, mm-hmm. basically he's making bets with cash he doesn't have right now. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I look at that and I'm like, okay, that could bite him. That could affect things for him. And the fact that Will Ospreay is trying to fight everybody.
Right.
Alec. While also trying to be everybody's friend.
Yeah. I think that Swerve certainly believes that it's well within Will Ospreay's purview to be like, Daniel Garcia, I see you, I hear you, I respect you. I cannot have that match with you. I cannot think about accepting your challenge until after I have done the Swerve thing. And then we'll talk about it. You know what I mean? Him being like, what? There's a challenge for me, bruv? Accepted. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, it just feels like he's got this Great Dane puppy energy where he's just bounding through life, loving everything. And he doesn't recognize that, like, there might be a little danger around a corner. I did love the thing of MJF, just his glaring at the back of yes. Ospreay's head, but like upstaging him and then being very curt to Garcia on his way out. Hey, good luck with that match next week. Like, there has an opportunity to do a really cool three-way rivalry through the summer between Garcia, MJF, and Ospreay. I think there's a really great way of doing that. And listen, if you're like MJF is certainly the pillar of AEW since day one, going forward into the future. Will Ospreay, brand new guy, basically, but the best in the world, I think, is the consensus, and certainly will lead AEW into the future as well. To say with a three-way feud for the international title leading into their big show of the year, hey, Daniel Garcia is on the level of these two guys, is a huge deal for Daniel Garcia, and I think is more of a long play than a short play, even though I wanted to see Ospreay versus Garcia one-on-one tonight for the international title. I think that the long play of giving him that shot next week during a big episode of Dynamite, and then building through into July and August and into the fall, that's the long play, which I think I want to trust them to do that right.
We get a super chat where somebody says, I like the fact that Ospreay was seen as unbeatable until he faced off a Swerve. Now his weaknesses are being exposed in an interesting way. Yes, and not only that, like he's bringing those weaknesses upon himself. Like he's getting into everybody's business. And you can tell that MJF, from a personality character standpoint, he's not trying to be like he was last year, but he's like, okay, I recognize that you all like me now, and I'm going to try to not be terrible to you. And I feel like he's being pushed in that direction where he just snaps and he's like, mind your own business, Will. Like one of those. Mod Revolve says, MJF gave Adam Cole his match at Wembley last year. Yes, he did. Thomas said, where did Shivani go? I don't have that answer. I will ask. And any reason for the commentary table moving to the stage? It moved. It was, first off, it was on the stage because Jim Ross wanted it on the stage back in the day. Mm-hmm. They moved it down. And if you remember, he complained about it very audibly on the air. Mm-hmm. I'll find out if it's like a production thing or if it's something that's going to be changing. Lovefro says Ospreay's a golden retriever and wrestling is his ball. Yeah,
that's
kind of is.
It's good.
Cap says, I hate to say it, but it's hard to get in a forbidden door with most of the guys from New Japan. I enjoyed being with AEW now. I'm ready for next Wednesday, to be honest. Yeah, this forbidden door has nowhere near the luster of the AEW versus New Japan that it did in previous years. And Shivani said that he lost his voice on Twitter. That sucks. That's a bummer.
That sucks. I hate when that. Yeah, that's just the worst.
We got, man. Yeah, so we've got LIJ versus BCC. How'd you feel about this one?
I mean, it is at the end, not during the match, really, but at the end of the match, it advanced to marquee matches for Forbidden Door, which is very go-homey, and I get that part. I kind of liked the specificness of both of those things, but like Moxley just getting kind of tired of this and just storming into the ring with a chair, you know, like it fits his character, but it, you know, kind of is a, you know, kind of a, that's kind of a jip. You know what I mean? Like watching this cool trios match and all of a sudden one guy says, I don't want to do this anymore. We're hitting the guy with a chair. I don't know. I guess, I don't know, Wheeler Yuta takes the pin. I don't know exactly. Or Teton. I don't know exactly who takes the pin there, if they actually go for a pin, but whatever. I like Naito coming out and slowly disrobing so that he can fight with Moxley to the back. And then I also love Danielson on commentary, pulling focus away from that brawl to, I just saw Wheeler Yuta take a chair shot. I'm really worried about that kid. You know what I mean? And he's brawling with Shingo, and Danielson goes down there like, what are you doing, man? Cause he and Shingo don't have a blood feud going on. They're happened to be matched up in a tournament. And Danielson's like, what are you doing hitting the kid with the chair? Like, the match is over. This is crazy. And Shingo's like, I'm going to do worse to you. So I like that those things happened, but I feel like we could have done it without a, you know, weird little DQ in the middle. But.
Yeah. And speaking of that, Zach Schimmel, who helped us put together the Discord, says from BB in Discord, BB8 in Discord, tonight was AEW's 13th DQ finish in a match in 5 years. WWE has had 288 or 548 if you include house shows until we meet again.
Wow.
That is a lot. I am excited about the Moxley Naito brawl. BetOnline AG, our great partner, has some BetOnline odds for Forbidden Door, and the odds for a draw in this match are just slightly off from Moxley winning. They have Naito favored to win this. How are you feeling about it?
I mean, I didn't expect Moxley to keep the title for very long.
Yeah.
So I feel like Naito wins it. You know, if he wins it, he'll probably be a transitional champ to whoever they want to give it to, who's a New Japan guy. But if Moxley retains, I'm interested in seeing what they do with it from then on. If I had to choose, I would say I probably think Naito wins. But
we'll be giving you guys Forbidden Door odds throughout this entire show from BetOnline AG, trusted for over 25 years. You can bet on wrestling over at BetOnline AG. Bryan Danielson, a massive favorite over Shingo Takagi. And I think that makes sense. It's the Owen Hart tournament. And I think Danielson's heading. I think it's going to be Danielson or Hangman, one or the other.
Yeah. They're definitely meeting in the finals of the tournament. And if at that point you did a crazy, like, holy crap, Hangman just beat Danielson. Well, it makes perfect sense because the whole reason he's in the tournament is to try to murder Swerve in Wembley. So, like, yeah, there's a lot of options there once you get to the finals. But I feel like that's kind of the finals that are set in stone.
The Young Bucks do have a segment about that wild card. Fightful Select had a little bit of a duh update. And and it's that they are bringing their wild card in, which is presumed to be Hangman Page.
Like, they've decided, are inserting our own wild card, which kind of leaves it out of, like, oh, it's a crazy debut of, like, it's got to be somebody that they would know that they would pick, which kind of gives away the game, I think, to me.
What about Shane McMahon?
Well, he is the best in the world. He did win that tournament a few years ago.
So, we had an update on FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. What we didn't report was it's going to be Hangman, because this does seem like a thing where the Young Bucks could just do some of goofy-ass swerve.
They could.
However, Hangman is slated to return either next week or the following week. I had been told next week. Mm-hmm. I had been told it was early July for quite a while. It was a non-injury, personal reason, contractually obligated. So I'm excited to see him back. I think the show needs him back. He is perpetually over. Mm-hmm. Vicky says, hi, SRS and Alex and Luis and Zach. Cash for Ospreay. Looking forward to Forbidden Door to being done. What ringer is the Elite bringing in for the Owen? I think it is Hangman. It makes too much sense for it to be Hangman. Yeah. And to me, that puts another person in the bracket that could feasibly win it. Because If Danielson wins it and goes to Wembley, I could see that. And if Hangman and Swerve happens at Wembley, I could see that too.
Yeah, Danielson versus Swerve for the AEW World title in the main event of All In, the biggest show of the year, makes all the sense in the world. From a storyline and character perspective, Hangman coming back from a long absence to get into the Owen, to run through everybody, to have one more shot at murdering Swerve in the ring. Yes. It's a perfect story. So, like, once you get down to the finals, and also I love that Hangman and Brian Danielson had that history back when Hangman was champion. This is a very different Hangman Page than the one that Bryan Danielson went the distance with all those years ago. That in itself is a really cool story. I'm really excited for the finals of the Owen.
CC Bon Bon says, Cole MJF is quality TV and fun. We need to invest in characters and stories to keep watching. Make Rampage the dream match show. Do the Danielson WrestleMania story all over again for All In. I don't think you can do the Danielson Mania 30 story all over again. That was so organic, but maybe sort of the inverse of that. Yeah, I'm all for MJF and Daniel Garcia doing stuff together. I just felt like it took a while to get to the point. And you know, if you want to put MJF out there for the first quarter hour, he's probably going to draw a better number than most people. So I understand why they would do that.
Yeah.
Kane Horn says, if you look at the Forbidden Door card and not get excited, maybe AEW isn't for you. It's not that I'm not excited. I'm just not as excited as previous years. I'll tell you, I am excited for Swerve and Ospreay because.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I want more people who, when people say neither can afford to lose. Good. I want more of that. I think there should be that on every single show.
Listen, I think that, let's be real, Ospreay can definitely afford to lose because the title he's holding ain't up for grabs. Yeah. So if he loses, if his first loss is in a match to the AEW World Champion, that's not bad. That's pretty much the best guy you could lose to. And he can turn around the following Wednesday, have an amazing match with Garcia, win that, and propel himself into a feud with MJF, headed into All In. Like, by the nobody, like,
MJF costs Ospreay the title out of spite?
I think he might, but like, this is the thing about it, is not everybody's got to have the titles for a year. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Daniel Garcia somehow winning the title and also maybe kind of feeling guilty about it once he watches back the film and realize that MJF hit Ospreay with the diamond ring on the outside, costing him the... Maybe that's part of the overall thing. I don't know.
MJF, who admittedly likes Daniel Garcia and has went to bat for him in the past.
There's a lot of fun stuff, but like I think that here's the deal with the Forbidden Door card and why it doesn't feel as, you know, forbidden. Because almost all the major guys that were so excited about 2 years ago, not all of them, but a bunch of them are currently in the company right now. You know what I mean? Like the door isn't really forbidden. I mean, it was, but it's a permissive door. Like, we're not really all that upset about people walking back and forth anymore.
Sure.
So the fact that Okada walked through the door and is here now, he lives here. He moved out of one apartment and walked through a door into another one. Same thing with Ospreay. Same thing with Jay White. You know, like, so.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel the same kind of momentousness.
Force of Will says Naito almost has to win so the IWGP champ can be in the G1. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's a fair point. Zach Schimmel says, Vicky, for you and your support of the Fightful community, any update on Omega and a possible All-In appearance? I don't doubt that he can make an appearance. I've heard no progress on him wrestling, unfortunately. Yeah. But when he does, I'm sure they're going to do the Okada thing.
It's a serious, serious surgery. You know what I mean? Yeah. We got to just wait and see.
Yep. Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your Humper chats. We're staying with the Elite. The Acclaimed promo with the Elite, the Acclaimed were not scheduled to be out there. And this segment didn't make any sense. And I'll tell you.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tell you why. Lord Peter, or maybe, unless I missed something, but Lord Peter says, show is fine, but Tony is losing me. And a lot of the audience, apparently, by trolling us with segments nobody wants, like Jericho and the Acclaimed. Now, the crowd was not nearly as pumped for them as previous weeks, but
yeah.
The Elite make a challenge for Forbidden Door. And Okada is like, you know, scissor me, bitches. Haha, that's funny. I liked it.
Yeah.
But the Acclaimed counter, and they're like, well, Billy Gunn's not going to team with us. And Billy Gunn's like, I know a president, though. And he cuts to a video of Hiroshi Tanahashi. And I'm like, did they anticipate the challenge for this segment that was unscheduled? Because commentary said that they weren't supposed to be out there.
Right.
So they came out there. Did they plan to bait them into challenging them? Because understandably, they did beat the Elite last week. So the Elite would be maybe a little bit fired up, wanting to prove that they aren't all the things that the Acclaimed said that they exposed them for. But fine with the match. Hey, I'm happy that Tanahashi's on there. It's a little bit more of a New Japan integration. Tanahashi, Okada across the ring from each other. Sure, it ain't what it was 10 years ago, but it's still going to be cool to see.
Yeah, I guess. I'm kind of... over the Acclaimed. I really like Anthony Bowens, but I don't like him speaking for me when he tells me that everyone loves the Acclaimed, because I do not. So I kind of want this to get us to get beyond this, like give the Acclaimed their title match that they deserve, because they beat the Young Bucks in a, you know, a eliminator match last week. The Young Bucks hopefully win that match and then move on to feud with somebody who gets signed, you know, like, I don't know, maybe GYV gets signed. I wouldn't mind seeing the Young Bucks versus GYV if that were to happen, or hell, like possibly if we sign, Manny and Mace, I wouldn't mind. That would be a lot of fun.
FightfulSelect.com report today that they have been in talks with AEW ROH specifically. So that could end up happening. Jay White defeated Rey Fenix. Good stuff here in the Owen Cup first round match. I mean, you know it is. You know it's going to be good stuff. It's these two. This match was followed by the Patriarchy confronting the Bang Bang Gang. Very rarely do I do a, but who's the face and who's the heel? I cannot imagine a world of wrestling in which the Guns play the baby faces. They are so naturally unlikable and unredeemable as characters.
But that's they're not obviously this. But obviously they're not this. But like, they're in the family of like irreverent heels, like DX. You know what I mean? And the Patriarchy is not. They're no nonsense. There, you know, like there's a different kind of heel, and I'm fine with heel versus heel when one heel group loves to have fun at your expense, though, and the other one is like, fun will not be allowed ever. Like that can be fun, because I mean, like, one of them isn't a baby face, but I feel like you gotta root for the Bang Bang Gang over the no fun team. Because that's what the Patriarchy are. And I think that they're great at what they do, but like, it's a very different kind of being heel. I also love that the other team that's floating out there is House of Black, which are a completely different kind of heel team. Like that, I love the idea of this kind of everything swirling together. And then you got Samoa Joe and Hook and Shibata, who aren't exactly baby faces because they break into people's locker rooms and beat them up when they're not ready for it. So, like, I love that there's kind of all these different groups of lawlessness that are all going to come together. Hopefully, maybe we get a four corners match at All In.
Irene says, Hangman returning and eliminating Jarrett first absolutely makes him a heel considering Jeff Jarrett's history with Owen. Heel Hangman versus Swerve should continue. If you guys have not watched that Jeff Jarrett interview, please go watch that interview. That was nothing short of amazing. And man, I'm not going to say that I inspired it because I don't think so. I think it was a coincidence. I said last week when I talked to somebody, I was like, he should probably uncork that Toby Keith, I'm not as good as I once was line. And like, it's one of those like unpredictably predictable things. Like, I was so glad that he said that because it drew off the emotion of him losing another friend as well. And Toby Keith was an entertainer who would have been like, hell yeah, use that line.
Right.
Oh my God. What a freaking promo that was, guys. Please check that out. That was very special. And listen, 12-time world champion being inserted in this tournament, I got no problem with it, and I loved that promo.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly okay with it, that they're doing a really good job of making it inspirational, only for him to go out there next week and be like, okay, I'm ready to like start my inspirational run to the finals of the Owen Hart tournament, and then it's Hangman, who just is on a different level with how badly he needs to win that he just murders Jeff Jarrett, like in a really uncomfortable way. Even for people who don't like Jeff Jarrett, like me, watching what Hangman will do to him will make us go, nah, that's a bit far.
And I want to address this because somebody said, who cares if there's a heel? Bang Bang Gang are not boring, and that is more important. Listen, I am as wide open to heel versus heel, face versus face. I kind of want to see them play off of that. That's my thing. Like, I'm okay with them doing heel versus heel. I want them to out shithead one another is what I want. I don't want them to be like, we're the guns and we're baby faces. No, they're assholes. That's their whole thing. So I want both sides. Like, I want Austin and Colton trying to be a bigger piece of shit than Christian and Nick Wayne is what I want. And then then it just devolves from there. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Chi-Town Spurs says in AEW, specifically Rick Knox, kicking out everyone ringside for threatening to interfere before the bell rings is one of the most shocking things to ever happen on AEW television.
That is very funny.
Yes. Also, I have long said this. I really wish that each referee had tendencies. Like, that there are certain people who are like, we don't want Aubrey because we can't get away with anything. The Bucks always want Rick Knox because they don't have to follow the rules.
That's right.
Somebody wants Bryce Remsburg because he'll remember what you did last time and he'll hold it against you. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Mercedes Moné promo, very short, sweet, to the point with Stephanie Vaquera, who she went and visited in Mexico. Mercedes, a gigantic favorite in the Bet Online AG odds over Stephanie. This makes sense, Alex. I reported on Fightful Select that New Japan had top, like, title challenge or title reign plans for her, and that she'd still be able to work New Japan. So it makes sense for her to win that.
Oh yeah, for sure. I certainly think that it's more likely for her to be a double champ than for Stephanie Vaquera.
But we've got some matches announced. Willow and Tam Nakano versus Chris and Momo Watanabe. Watanabe on the Forbidden Door 0 Hour. Yeah, cool. I mean, hey, I'm good with that. Clear the Air with E says, long-term booking. What is the main event at All Out now that it's moved back a week? Do we see King Puma at Forbidden Door? I say Garcia Ospreay if Garcia loses next week. Alex, I can't remember who it was, so take credit whether you did or didn't say it. For all the people claiming Ricochet and Ospreay would be at All In, All Out sounds like a good idea for Ricochet and Ospreay.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't my idea. Somebody said it to me. I just can't remember who.
It might have been me. Since last year, I did think that it was weird for them to go into All In with one match booked for All Out. You know what I mean? Like, we all knew what we were getting. Darby versus Christian for the TNT title, but we didn't know what anything else in the card was. Now with a full week in between, you can go into All In with a bunch of stuff that we know is going to culminate at All Out. And you have the luxury then of booking stuff after All In to add to the card. I would love it if there was a couple of things that we know we are, like you've told us by early August, this is going to be a major deal at All Out. And you're selling tickets to that too.
I like that they pushed it back a week. I mean, selfishly for a couple of reasons, that week is always my birthday, my wife's birthday. My gosh, what our anniversary and Labor Day, man, I like to not work on that weekend. So
yeah,
very happy about that. Tony Storm, Mariah May, and Mina Shirakawa defeated Saraya, Anna Jay, and Harley Cameron. I heard Saraya shouted a fan like, "Shut up, bitch."
No, she said, "I hate you too, bitch." Like that was.
There you go. There you go. Bobby White says, "I hate to say the dumb line, but I like build up to these New Japan, CMLL, and AEW moments because I feel nothing. However, the women's match was fire. I'm excited for the women's matches for Collision. Do you think Camille goes after Deeb?" I think Camille should go after Deeb. Although yeah. I would love to see someone in the TBS title division with Megan Bain as a heater, and then somebody in the world title program with Camille as a heater. And then eventually those two people with their subsequent heaters meet up and you get a big face off in the ring between both of those.
That would be great.
Tony Storm, a massive favorite at the BetOnline AG odds over Mina Shirakawa. Mm-hmm. The real story of this is afterwards, Mina goes to crack Tony over the head with a bottle. Instead, it is Mariah that gets it. And here's what I like about this. Mina did an interview with Grapsody, which airs every Saturday at noon. Did an interview with Phil and Reg of Grapsody where she said, "My love for Mariah is real. Tony just loves her because she dresses up like her." And very clearly in character. But the concern that Tony showed here was genuine. Like she was, this wasn't a, "Oh no, my lackey is hurt." It is a, "My friend, this person I care about is hurt." Yeah. Maybe not cared about in the same way that Mina Shirakawa cares about her, but cares nonetheless, Alex.
Right, right. I thought that, you know, everybody kind of coexisted. Everything worked out all right in that during the match. And then at the end, to celebrate our coexistence, let's have a flute of champagne. Yes. And then Mina going to crack Tony over the back of the head with it, and instead Tony ducking and Mariah getting a face full of sugar glass was really great to show which one of the two broke the truce first. And then it also gives Tony some guilt because she ducked, and if she hadn't ducked, then Mariah would be all right. And they pull apart brawl to end this. I think that this match is going to be great. I love the implications also of what Mariah May will have to choose during the match and stuff. And there's also this Mariah May being part of the Owen tournament as well.
Yes. Which I expect her to win.
Yeah.
I expect her to win. Also shout out to Collision for having women's matches, said Bad Apple Jam. Three women's matches. Hell yeah. Hell yes.
Yes.
And maybe that's their platform in which to do that more on. Again, please check out that interview with Mina Shirakawa. I was so happy when Phil told me he was getting that interview, because I know that he's wanted to interview somebody from Stardom. But I mean, look at our shows killing it. Beyond the Bell, Andrew Zarian broke a bunch of news about Forbidden Door this year. Grapsody getting Mina Shirakawa, and then in the weeds this morning, breaking news that Sinner and Saint have signed with TNA. And I saw some people going, "Who? You ain't going to be saying that for long, my friends." I saw them live against the Good Hands in Newport. You need to be watching out for them.
Yeah.
Remember that I said that. You need to be watching out for Sinner and Saint. I like the Learning Tree promo. It took me on a ride. So
I liked Jericho getting screwed with. That was fun.
I know. Yeah. There we go. Dante brings up a good point. Jericho's whole group is mirroring the Elite and I hate it. Let's move them on to something else and let's push Switchblade ASAP. I agree with all that. I think that if you do him doing the condescending stuff is too, it's too similar to the Elite. Yeah. And C. Delgado says, when the learning tree segment, sorry, Alex, is good, you know it's a good night. Excellent go-home show. So let me tell you, I was a pissy little bitch when they came out to that ring, Alex, because, you know, they had made the challenge, and it didn't quite make sense, the challenge of Samoa Joe, Hook, and Shibata versus the learning tree, because is Shibata technically New Japan contingent? Yeah, but he's not in the company. And I'm like, all right, we've got starting to get a lot of these non-New Japan versus AEW matches here.
Right.
And then I see Brian Keith come out with that sling, and I go, these sons of bitches. Mm-hmm. And in my head, the criticism that I had ready was, part of this is supposed to be to give him the rub, and then they're removing him from the match.
Right.
So I loved the swerve. They just said, to hell with the match. We're going to tease Samoa Joe and Jeff Cobb on Rampage or Collision.
Yeah.
Which is what it looks like the direction is now. And Suzuki was being courted to team at the Learning Tree. And he goes, the fuck's the Learning Tree? I don't want anything to do with that. I want to fight you for the FTW title.
Yeah.
And I said, cool.
Yeah. Jericho almost got me. By doing the, you know what's most important to me, but what I want to do most in my life is to help out all the young guys. In a reference to the Cody Rhodes quote.
No, he said, and I quote, "I'm here for all the young guys."
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's what he said. But Brian Keith can't go, so obviously I know exactly who I'm going to go to be our third in a match versus Jukbata, as I've started to call them. And it was the exact thing. As soon as I saw Brian Keith get taken out last week with the arm thing, I was like, you know, they're going to find Minoru Suzuki is going to come in and be their third. So when they started showing him up on the screen, I was like, I knew it. And I went into the kitchen to empty the dishwasher. And all I hear is Japanese. I don't know what he's saying. I'm assuming he's saying, I accept, I'm in the match. And then everyone's, oh, Jericho doesn't like this. So I went back and watched it, and I was howling. I don't want this. This is great. This is fantastic. So we're going to get Minoru Suzuki Minoru Suzuki versus Jericho, which is amazing. Also amazing is that this little video package gave me this meme, which I'm going to use forever.
Yes.
I'm just going to put this up literally every time we talk. Anytime you say, hey, Alex, what do you have to say about this learning tree segment? I'm just going to put this up and be silent.
The clipping underneath the hat is what I really like about this. You really went the extra mile there.
I didn't do it. Somebody said it to me on Twitter. I said, I'm stealing this and using it forever. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, my God. Alex, so Inursa,
we're gonna call this Minoru Sourzuki.
Alex Inursa says, what do you think the chances are of Enzo Amore getting signed with AEW? I'm watching the Learning Tree segment. Can't help but to think about the chemistry Enzo and Big Bill had, the promo they had without the microphone in WWE. Anything's possible, but I know that was explored at one point and they didn't go down that road.
Right.
And Enzo, I mean, listen. He hasn't been in any trouble or anything like that in a very, very long time. It's just, I don't know if he is what he once was. I mean, he's not in his 20s anymore. He's in his late 30s. He works here and there. Like, he's worked about 14 matches I've seen this year. So he does stuff here and there. Treebeard says, I want to see the IWC explode in anger and cause chaos. Jericho's partner and the sixth man should be evil. Make it the House of Learning Tree Torture. You know, well, it wouldn't be Jericho's partner because Jericho's doing the FTW title match.
Right.
But yeah.
They're going to do a six man. I'm assuming by then Brian Keith will be, you know, cleared from his kayfabe arm injury.
Yes.
But if he wasn't, yeah, that might be fun.
Let's talk about this very entertaining promo. From Nord! How many times have you seen it? A big name wrestler gets hacked. They're trying to sell PlayStations or something on their Twitter. They need that NordVPN.com/Fightful. Not just for that, but all their sensitive files, their storyline information, their pitches, their private documents. You want NordVPN.com/Fightful to protect you when you're on the road or when you're at home. When you're at home, you can put it on your router. It protects everything. You can put it on your phone, laptop, desktop, PC. But on the road, whether you're at the hotel connecting to that Wi-Fi, the airport connecting to that Wi-Fi, the event center even, you want to have some protection for your devices, and NordVPN.com/Fightful does that. In addition, you shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on that public Wi-Fi, secure every device you own, and add extra layers of security to your digital life, in addition to all the great features we tell you about all the time. They also have 24/7 support if you need that help. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Check it out, especially for the show this weekend. Action says Mark Briscoe has fully become the animal from the Muppets, and I'm so here for it. He's rubbing off on Kyle O'Reilly, and that's so great because Kyle O'Reilly has always had that like goofy little personality, but it's really rubbing off here, and I think it's going great. And I like how Orange Cassidy and Renee are just watching it unfold every week, and they're like,
"Yes,
yeah, sure,
that's pretty good, huh?"
Zack Sabre Jr. then defeated Kyle O'Reilly. This was another thing I was like, man, this is a lot of, I wasn't sure how all the, why this all unfolded the way that it did, but a lot of ingredients here. You had the Undisputed Kingdom and Gabe Kidd. I love Gabe Kidd as well. You had Ishii, Robbie Eagles popping up. You had Shane Haste popping up to sort of make that save for Orange Cassidy and to confront him. How'd you feel about this, Alex?
I mean, the match
was fantastic.
I love the match. The match was obviously going to be fantastic, but like, there was a sequence there where they were just barely missing each other with kicks until Zack Sabre ran in to try and do a double leg and got met with a knee to the teeth and then just flopped down dead. That was an amazing sequence. The final thing was great. The psychology of Kyle O'Reilly grabbing the ankle and Sabre Jr. hopping around doing paintbrushes, but little ones, just to try and piss off O'Reilly so that he knew if I piss him off enough, he's going to drop the leg with one of the hands and try to smack me extra hard, which he does. But then he can like twist it around, get him up into a triangle. And once he's in the triangle, I can easily shift my hips. Now I've got him in the armbar. He's got to tap out.
Yeah.
Zack Sabre Jr. thinks 12 moves ahead. Like I've been a huge fan of his for years and years and years. I cannot wait to see him versus Orange Cassidy. Love Kyle O'Reilly. I think they are doing a thing with him. We're making him purposely adrift, where the whole stuff with Roderick Strong is going to start to feel maybe like that's his only option. And there's some good stuff there with that too.
I agree. I agree with that. I like Gabe Kidd kind of being involved with Undisputed Kingdom because I just love Gabe Kidd, man. I love him. Orange Cassidy, the underdog here on BetOnline AG odds. He is super protected. I could see that not being the case.
Yeah.
Treebeard said, pretty sure they said the sixth man is still on for the pay-per-view. Thought Excalibur said they needed to find a new partner for the match. Well, I mean, they're teasing Jeff Cobb and Samoa Joe on the tapings. Yeah. So
I think they will eventually, probably they might do that sixth man at the big beach break sponsored by Shark Week. They might do that next Dynamite. And if so, probably Brian Keith isn't cleared yet.
And I mean, I wish they would do more stuff like this. Like, listen, I did a big set of examples. Sorry, I got the hiccups right now of things that I would change about AEW on the What Do You Guys Want to Talk About podcast. And I'm looking at Forbidden Door right now as things sit, 11 matches. Well, why not take two or three of those, just do an 8-9 match show and take a couple of those and put them on Dynamite, Rampage, Collision. I feel like that's a thing that helps drive down AEW's numbers is that WWE, listen, 5 matches when that first started happening, I was like, really? Now I'm like, hell yeah, brother, that. And then you get bigger matches on TV as a result of that. And they're still selling out arenas. Swerve and Ospreay defeated the Gates of Agony. I did not need a second Can They Coexist match. I did not need two of those on one show.
Especially because the first one actually made a lot of sense for the for the overall story. And this one,
yes,
I'm sorry, still doesn't to me. Like
they have been at odds with very little reason to want to face the Gates of Agony. Like, I mean, Swerve's got his issues with the Gates of Agony. Yeah, like, this is just another case of Ospreay being like, I can help. I can help. Yeah. I can help. Why is he trying
to go a match, bruv? I'll wrestle it. Like it. Yes. That's it. I don't know. Like, but to me, I feel like the great go home segment was the promo face to face they had last week. Like, where's like where Swerve is like mentions the kid and the wife, and Will Ospreay says, you don't want to make this personal. And then they do the rest of the promo. And as Ospreay's leaving, Swerve says, but what if I do want to make it personal?
Yes.
Like, that to me is, that's it. You've done everything you needed to do to build up this thing between them. And you don't need to do, another kindly coexist head. It's a trope we don't need in AEW. At least not all that often, unless the story kind of feeds into it, like with Mina Shirakawa and Toni Storm.
And then Swerve beats that ass. And I think that AEW needs a character like a Drew McIntyre where he never says anything corny, and virtually like almost everything he says is true. Mm-hmm. Swerve is to me the closest thing they have to that. Everything that he says is calculated. Yeah. He's very smart to the world of wrestling in this character standpoint. He's like, I see it, and I'm telling you that this is going to be your undoing. And right. Tonight it started to unravel on him because he took this match that he should not have taken. Can they coexist? Swerve's like, sure, but then I'm gonna whoop your ass right afterwards. So tough shit.
Yeah.
I like that element of it. Get your super chats, get your humper chats in. We are at the end of it. Well, we were. There we go. Clear the air with E says, what if Toni Storm throws in the towel for the final of the Owen tournament while Mariah May is in the match and she loses because of Toni? Then Mariah May screws over Toni at All In and the payout is at All Out. Ooh, interesting. Well, I think you would need a really, really big opponent for Toni Storm. And to me, Mariah May competing in her home country for the title makes an awful lot more sense than her competing for it just a couple weeks later. I think you should do it at All In. I don't hate your idea. I think it needs to be there.
I don't know. I kind of love the idea of basically Toni Storm helping Mariah May to win and then expecting Mariah May to lay down for her. You know, after all that I've done for you, now you're going to let me win, of course. And like, oh, no, I won the tournament. Thank you for helping me out and getting me into the tournament, but I'm going to try and beat you is a different thing. Also, if the alternative, I guess, is Chris Statlander versus Toni Storm at All In, like, I want to see that match, but I feel like that's not an All In match.
Bobby White says, thoughts on Marty Scurll, Tessa Blanchard, and Flip Gordon being in AEW, not trying to be negative to people who don't like them, but seriously, Willow wrestled Tessa a while ago. Marty's been working in AAA and Flip in CMLL. Any chance for AEW? I'm going to say no, no, and no, and I'll tell you why. Why wouldn't they be there by now? Flip Gordon was really good friends with all those guys. He isn't there. Marty Scurll is not going to be there. I haven't heard of him even being backstage recently. Tessa Blanchard, there were some people that pushed for her very early into AEW. It's not going to happen unless she makes, and she did make some amends with La Rosa Negra, but I feel like there's a lot of other people she needs to make amends with. But Marty Scurll, I would be surprised if he ever worked anywhere beyond AAA. Yeah. I think he's doing a podcast now or something. And Flip Gordon, nothing particularly egregious about him. They would have signed him if they wanted him.
Right.
And with all the people they signed and not him. Treebeard says, if it's not Mariah May versus Toni, have Hater return at Forbidden Door. Or I think you mean Forbidden Door for All In. Well, yeah, if she can. It's not as easy as just, bam, there you go.
Whenever she's available, I'd love to see her back.
Alex, tell the people what you got going on.
Over on Fightful Select, there'll be a review of SmackDown. We'll watch a Rampage. And then after Forbidden Door, it'll be me and Alexis Cardoza doing a review of Forbidden Door there back on Monday for Raw. And we see what the next maybe they'll just do a little a series of maybe Ramblin' Rabbit will interview Eric Rowan on Raw. Let's see what happens. I'm excited.
Kate will be at Forbidden Door. I believe Andrew Zarian will. I don't know about Cresta. I'm sure that we'll have one of the other people cover whatever Kate misses when she goes to get vegan chicken tenders during the women's match.
Yep. Vegan nuggets.
Nulak City says, what's up, my guys? SRS, I feel you're a little too down. This was a good episode. Only issue is they're doing a go-home show while also building other stories. Well, I don't have an issue with them doing that. I think they should build other stories for the future. I think that's one of the things that they do better. And hey, listen, if you like this show, more power to you. I definitely won't go off about that. But people being like, huh, are you being hypercritical? No, there were just some things I didn't like, didn't think made sense. There were some things I think that could cheer up. Mm-hmm. They say, do you think New Japan's temporary fall off is making Forbidden Door an afterthought? AEW getting Okada and Ospreay does definitely take some of the marquee value away from New Japan in this sense. So Nulak City, I think you're completely right there. Did Sean mention how to fix AEW or did I miss that? Watch the What Do You Guys Want to Talk About podcast today. I had several recommendations. I think they should make their tickets way, way cheaper. I think they should turn the lights up in the venue and make it. I think that their stuff seems very formulaic. I'd consolidate some titles. I would make some more definitive clarifications on ROH. Why the hell is Athena not on the show if everybody else in ROH was? I would try different venues and environments. I would take the show out of the arena sometimes. I would make sense of some things. Why is Daniel Garcia getting a bunch of wins for a title shot when all he had to do was do the same thing that Brian Cage did?
And
you know what I mean? Lots of things there. But
yeah,
guys, thank you all so much. Also, yes, they need to do better with merch.
They do.
Until next time, we're out.
Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.